Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
941, 19 before 10. Tommy Tucker, WWL. Let us congratulate Chris Lucas. Hey, Chris, congratulations. He won tickets to the LSU-Auburn game this Saturday. You'll have another chance to win on Thursdays before every home game. How about that? Every home game, every Thursday, you'll have a chance to win LSU home game tickets playing Auburn this weekend. Chris Lucas won them. Congratulations. Make sure you pick them up because we want them to be used. We want you in Tiger Stadium on Saturday night. Go Tigers from WWL. We're talking about the election of 2020. Already there seems to be a lot of talk about people not accepting the results, about Russian interference online, et cetera. They had some hearings yesterday on Capitol Hill. Our Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll, will you accept the results of the 2020 election regardless of who wins? And 77% are saying yes, which to me is encouraging. Ari Lightman joins us, professor of digital media and marketing at the Hines College at, is it Carnegie or Carnegie?
That's Carnegie.
Carnegie. I always wondered about that. Mellon University. Good morning, sir.
Thanks. Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, sir. I see the headline here, Weaponizing Social Media, Hines Experts on Troll Farms and Fake News. Has social media become close to a weapon, or is it a weapon?
So it's been weaponized. I don't think you should classify it as a weapon. But people have utilized the structural artifacts associated with social networks, predominantly echo chambers and filter bubbles, vulnerable populations within the group to spread disinformation and sort of use it almost as an accelerant, unfortunately.
So, go ahead.
And this is something that we need to take into consideration and really understand coming up to the 2020 election.
So when it comes to Facebook, what are the, I hate to say dangers there, but how can it be manipulated and then in turn people manipulated, and do people make themselves vulnerable to this in the first place by how they choose their news or how to, the outlet from which they choose to get their news?
Yeah, absolutely. So since Facebook is such a huge property, I mean, we're talking about billions of users that are utilizing the network and utilizing it for a significant part of their day and a specific mechanism associated with digesting their news content, sharing their news, spreading information, those sorts of things. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people have connected to other people that reinforce their own particular ideology, their belief system. And because of this, they can be manipulated, associated with the overabundance of information that gets sent to them on a continuous basis. So even people that might be more sort of impartial, might be more balanced, can be, let's say, led astray, if you will, based on biased information being sent to them by sources that they believe are trustful, even though those sources might have been manipulated by bots, by trolls, by cyborg type mechanisms and fake accounts, those sorts of things. So anybody can be rendered vulnerable and participate in the spread or propagation of misinformation.
So just as if you, I don't know, if you like a burger place, then you're going to be targeted with burger ads, I guess, or these kind of things. It's the same way with opinions, not candidates and platforms, but opinions, right? So if you have a negative opinion of candidate X, then Facebook is going to, I don't know if bombard is the right word, but they're going to certainly direct negative information about that candidate to you. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's absolutely right, Tommy, but it goes a little bit even deeper than that. So in the age of big data, which is what we're living in, they can manipulate a variety of different types of information about specific users. So, great, let's say you like a particular burger joint, but they also might know that you lean conservative associated with your politics. They might also know potentially your religious affiliation based on certain things that you've liked on Facebook. They might also know what companies you've liked. They might know a variety of things about you from a demographic, psychographic, behavioral perspective. And what they could do is they could do some predictive analytics to understand whether or not you're more likely than not to spread information.
Right? Wow.
Because we've shared all this treasure trove of data with social networks, not really understanding how it might be utilized in the future. And we constantly provide more and more data to these networks. Bad actors have figured this out and can obtain some of this data, organize it, analyze it, and utilize it to, it's a strong word, but manipulate how these people would react to information.
If we could take it a step back, Professor, and that is, so all of this information is collected, right, by Facebook, and then at some point these bad actors have to have access to that information. So does Facebook care if they're bad actors? They don't want to know. They want plausible deniability on this. Like, hey, I just saw your list. I don't know what you're doing with it.
So it's a really tough situation, and it's something that they're debating in Capitol Hill associated with regulating some of these social networks and defining them as media companies and those sorts of things. If you think back to media organizations, before Facebook was around, when people got their information, it mostly came from credible news organizations, right? And if you think about journalistic integrity, journalistic ethics, those sorts of things, there's a whole list of them around attribution, corroboration, showing impartiality, those sorts of things, right? With social networks, those things weren't baked into the information. It was all about connecting people, giving them some social utility, those sorts of things. But now that it's such a large platform with all of this data and people sharing information, bad actors have utilized the platform. And we also have to understand there's been a lot of positive social good and benefit that has come out of social networks, right? But bad actors have figured out how to utilize fake accounts, how to use bots, how to use the good nature associated with Facebook and manipulate it for a nefarious purpose. Now, what a lot of these social networks are doing is paying attention to this and saying, okay, how can we stop this in the future? By rooting out bot accounts, which are fake and malicious accounts, rooting out fake accounts, getting rid of cyborg type activity, those sorts of things. But it becomes very tenuous, if you will, because you think about what is fake news, right? There's stuff that's intentionally deceptive, but there's also stuff around conspiracy theories, there's misleading information, there's satire, it's just sloppy reporting, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do we regulate all of that and get rid of all of that? Or is some okay and some is not? So we need to figure out from an ethical perspective and maybe even from a legal perspective, what is fake, purposely deceptive versus stuff that's just opinionated or might just be not corroborated.
If people that don't understand these basic definitions, Professor, like bots and troll farms, could you give us a brief definition of those, please?
Yeah, absolutely. So a bot is you think of it as an algorithmic account. There's not a person behind it, right? Mm-hmm. It's a algorithmic sort of account that it's controlled by an algorithm. The account, not by a person. So you can actually spot these things out, because if you think about something that's controlled by a piece of software, it releases things on a regular basis. It releases specific content. If a person controls the account, it's tough to look at regularity associated with the release, right? Mm-hmm. So that means more often than not, you could spot out accounts that are controlled by a piece of software. Now, the problem is that companies have algorithmic accounts where they release content on a regular basis. Do we not allow an organization or corporation to release stuff on an automated basis? So it's hard to differentiate between a bot that's malicious versus a bot that's just being used for efficient sort of content generation.
And before we run out of time, Professor, a troll farm? Before we run out of time?
A troll farm is a variety of human actors. I think there was an Oxford report that called them cyber troops, mm-hmm. right? So it's a group of individuals. Their sole job is to spread propaganda and misinformation with the sole guise of misleading people associated with potential upcoming elections. So you see troll farms in Eastern European countries, you see them in China and a variety of different places where the sole purpose is having human actors to spread disinformation.
Professor, this is going to be around for a long time, and I hope you'll join us again.
Absolutely. Happy to do it.
Thank you, sir. Ari Lightman, professor of digital media and marketing at the Hines College at Carnegie Mellon University. I'll get it out, 952.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.